I believe it was in June of 2022 that I had my double mastectomy done, also known as top surgery, and I had 0 second thoughts, nor was I scared that I would in the future. It's kind of difficult to explain, but I never really felt like my breasts were a part of my body, so it's like, how can I miss something that was never mine to begin with? I feel like it's a type of dissociation that I developed in order to cope with the body that I'm in, and it's been 2 years since my surgery. I still admire my chest in the mirror. I don't think I'll ever regret it.
I feel very safe here in Australia being a trans person, to be honest. As a trans woman, as we know that there is still a lot of prejudice in Brazil. I think the Brazilian society is still a very macho society. People in Brazil still see trans women in general as an object, as a fantasy, as we can see that by this alarming data that says that trans women are being killed a lot every year. But it is still the most common type of porn consumed in Brazil as well. So there is this discrepancy that doesn't make sense in the end of the day.
Transitioning in Translation is a podcast hosted by me, Felipe Canale, available in both Portuguese and English. You can listen to it on the SBS website or your favorite podcast app. In 2022, SBS Portuguese interviewed Wendley and Jacob, both of whom were undergoing gender transitions in Australia. Now, we are inviting them back to share more about their journeys. Wendley, a 35-year-old Brazilian migrant, began transitioning from male to female nearly 6 years ago in Melbourne. And Jacob, who is now 20 years old, started his transition from female to male at the age of 12, with the support of his Brazilian family on the Gold Coast. According to a recent scientific study published by JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, the majority of transgender adolescents and young adults who choose to undergo gender transition using hormones do not regret their decision. And Jacob can speak more about it in more detail.
I'm perfectly happy with the age I started to transition, and I also think that there's no rush or deadline to find out who you are. Especially since, unfortunately, some people don't actually have information or resources where they live to access gender services or to even know that that's an option. I always hear that change is inevitable and a part of life, so why can't that apply to gender?
It's important to note that not all transgender people undergo gender-affirming surgery. Additionally, surgeries are only performed on individuals over 18 years old.
I believe it was in June of 2022 that I had my double mastectomy done, also known as top surgery, and I had 0 second thoughts, nor was I scared that I would in the future. It's kind of difficult to explain, but I never really felt like my breasts were a part of my body, so it's like, how can I miss something that was never mine to begin with? I feel like it's a type of dissociation that I developed in order to cope with the body that I'm in, and it's been 2 years since my surgery. I still admire my chest in the mirror. I don't think I'll ever regret it.
Wendley likes to highlight that each person's transition is unique and they decide what's best for themselves.
Look, Felipe, I think surgeries are a very personal thing. And it's not everyone that wants to go through that because it is scary. It is a big process. Surgeries are a big thing for trans people because it helps with dysphoria. I don't like to talk about gender reassignment surgery itself because I think it is really personal and I think it objectifies a lot of trans people, if you know what I mean. We are more than just our genitals. So it's not having a surgery that is going to make us less woman or less trans in general. I did have some surgery things. The last interview, which is something that helped me with my confidence, and I've been really happy after that.
Still, according to Wendley, if you are not familiar with the person, asking about surgeries is completely inappropriate.
I don't think anyone needed to share that information with the world unless it is someone that they're gonna sleep with, because people tend to think that they can ask about that. And it limits people to just a genital. And we are way more than that. We are your friends. We are your work colleagues. We are your love interest. We are a family.
Almost 3 years ago, Jacob shared in his first interview for the podcast Transitioning in Translation that had he possessed the vocabulary and understanding at the age of four, he would have told his parents sooner that he was trans. According to Jacob, he always knew how he felt, but at that age, he couldn't express himself with words in terms of his gender identity.
I am 20 years old now, and I've noticed I'm way more comfortable in my own skin, because when I was 17 and in school, I'd present myself in a way I thought was acceptable for others to perceive me as a male, and now I feel like I've been able to let go of that and present myself in a way that's acceptable and natural to me. I'm also studying languages and linguistics at university, and gender is a big part of linguistics, so learning about it has helped me shape my relationship with the concept of gender. And university has been a good experience. I get to see lots of people like me, and I feel a lot less alienated than I did in school, where I was like one of the only trans people.
In her first interview, Wendy shared that at the age of 16, she came out as a gay man, and at 32, when her first interview got published at SBS, she came out as a trans woman. She also confided that since childhood, she had known that there was something different about her, as she never identified with the gender she was assigned at birth. Now, at 35, she reflects about it.
I feel like now the world can see me as I was from the inside for a long time. I feel like I wasn't me in the outside before. And after my transition, I feel so much more comfortable with who I am in my own skin. I would just recommend for anyone that is struggling with their gender identity to understand themselves and see what they want to achieve and what they need to be happy in this life, because all that we want to do, Felipe, is to be happy and to be happy trans people the way that we were meant to be.
The podcast, published nearly 3 years ago at SBS, led to positive outcomes for Wendley, as it helped her reconnect with her family in Brazil, who had limited information about her transition in Australia at that time.
So it was a really nice reaction from everyone, especially from my family, because I didn't tell them before. So the interview went out and I wanted them to read it about it. I received a really nice message from my dad saying that he was really proud of me for being who I am and just for being happy and trying to inspire people by being open about my transition. I received a lot of messages from people just texting me through social media as well after the first interview for SBS, sending me like really nice messages saying that I was an inspiration. It was really positive, most of the messages that I received. I saw some bad comments on the posts from SBS online, but I guess it is expected from transphobic people, so it didn't bother me too much. I think it was overall a positive experience, and I started chatting to some LGBTQI+ people online in the meantime, and not exactly after the interview itself. And they say that they were going through something similar as they were struggling with their gender. So I shared the interview with them and they were really grateful. They listened to it, said I was an inspiration. And nowadays, one of the girls that I talked to, it started her transition. She's taking hormones and everything. And I just felt really happy that I was able to help someone to understand themselves and chase happiness as well as I am.
Jacob had a similar experience, with his story also receiving a positive response from his friends group.
So I shared the first SBS interview with people I knew would receive it well, and also a few of my teachers told me they'd seen it and were really proud of me, which was nice. And on top of that, the interview sparked conversations in my friend group about transgender people that turned out to be really helpful to their understandings about the topic.
And talking about how is it like to be a trans person in Australia and Brazil, in both countries, a transgender person does not need to undergo surgery to change their name and gender on official documents.
Personally, my experience transitioning in Australia was very smooth. I'm grateful that there are laws in place to support people like me, but it's still bittersweet. For example, the bill in New South Wales allowing people to change their name and gender without surgery is a great step, but it should have always been like this. I think it's the bare minimum. There aren't enough mainstream resources or outlets educating people on trans issues or even how to talk about them. And that leaves a lot of us taking on the educator role and answering those uncomfortable questions. I don't feel obligated to answer anybody's questions, but when people approach the topic respectfully, I try to answer any and every question in hopes of normalizing transgenderism.
Wendy says she has never felt unsafe as a trans woman in Australia. However, she acknowledges that the situation in Brazil is quite different.
I feel very safe here in Australia being a trans person, to be honest. I've been to Brazil after my transition as well, and for me it was fine. I didn't have any issues apart from some family things due to religion, which was expected. I felt I was really well accepted everywhere I went to. I didn't have any issues at all, but I think it is a very different when you live there as a trans woman, as we know that there is still a lot of prejudice in Brazil. I think the Brazilian society is still a very macho society. I think things are changing with the new generation, but there is still a lot to be achieved in terms of acceptance and protection. People in Brazil still see trans women in general as an object, as a fantasy, as we can see that by this alarming data that says that trans women are being killed a lot every year. But it is still the most common type of porn consumed in Brazil as well. So there is this discrepancy that doesn't make sense in the end of the day.
Gender transition can be a difficult road to navigate. But imagine starting the journey in a country where you don't know the health system and may not speak the language fluently. And even if you do, you still have to translate your feelings to your family and friends. For Wendley, seeking professional support, like mental therapy, is crucial to understand the process, as often, family members may try to convince you to give up on the transition.
I believe trans people deep down always knew who they were since they were a kid, like me. Since I was young, I knew what I was. I didn't understand exactly what it meant at the time. And I think my parents were very restrictive during that period because they thought they were protecting me. So they didn't want me to express myself because that would make my life harder at the time. So for people that postpone the start of the transition like me, I would recommend going through therapy first to understand yourself, understand your feelings and everything, because it's a lot of changes in your life in a short period of time when you start a transition. And it is important to understand what you want to achieve with it. I think it is for your happiness, for being who you are, for expressing yourself from the inside to the world. At least that's how I felt when I started my transition and when I got to the point where I wanted to be.
For Jacob, surrounding yourself with people who love you is essential. And of course, he recommends that no one compare themselves to other stories, as each individual is unique and has their own path to follow.
I'd say try not to compare yourself to cis people, nor other trans people, because in my experience, it only makes the dysphoria worse. It's better to think of yourself as a pioneer, whether it be in your school, your family, your workplace. This is an unfamiliar concept to many communities, but transgender people have existed for thousands of years, so if you feel alone in this, I promise you're not. People may doubt you and make you feel invalid, but I like to remember that those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind.
Talking about Australia's laws, the Sex Discrimination Act prohibits discrimination based on gender identity in such areas as education, employment, healthcare, and public services in Australia. As Jacob said in this podcast, if you identify as a transgender person, know that you are not alone, and that this country has laws and services to protect and support you.